Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHER are out to change that. InvestHERCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHERCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHERCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHER, H-E-R, con.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
And I think what I learned from those failures and sort of the demoralization of I experienced in that room full of investors was a lot of times when you start thinking about this is going to fail, it's really yourself telling you that. And
Best Ever listeners, I want to mention Lima One Capital, and I found out about them through a guest that I was interviewing on the show, and he mentioned how he was scaling his business. He was actually buying 10 single family homes within 1 year. And I asked him, how were you able to buy 10 single family homes and how were you financing that? And he's like, oh, well, I just use an asset-based lender. I was like, who is that? And he told me it's Lima One Capital. I reached out to them afterwards, got to know them, and they are the sponsor of today's episode because they've got some unique lending programs. One of them is called Rental 30, where, as I mentioned, they're an asset-based lender. So they're lending based on the property's appraised value, as well as they look at the down payment that you're bringing to the table and the cash reserves. They'll lend up to 75% loan to value. And this is huge. This is huge because typically as a single family investor, your lending strength is based on your personal income, as well as how many properties you have, how many loans you have out. There's no restrictions on portfolio size with their Rental 30 program. Go to limaonecapital.com/best ever. Sign up, learn more about the program. That's limaonecapital.com/best ever. They also have a program for fix and flippers. Even if you haven't done a fix and flip, they'll still lend to you. They've been in the business since 2010. So they've been around the block. They know their underwriting guidelines. They're not loosey-goosey, but they do have a very specific criteria that helps beginning fix and flippers get their fix and flip projects done, as well as experienced fix and flippers. They reward you as an experienced fix and flipper, and you actually get a lower interest rate and lower origination fee. Again, go to limaonecapital.com/best ever. And some legal stuff I have to say, it is Lima One Capital LLC, and the NMLS ID number is 1324403, and their address is 201 East McBee Avenue, Suite 300, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Again, limaonecapital.com/best ever. If you're looking for a fix and flip loan, or if you're looking for a buy and hold investment property and you're trying to finance it and you want it to be asset based, limaonecapital.com/best ever. Best Ever listeners, hello, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is a show where we cut out the fluffiest stuff. We don't get into it, and especially not on the weekend. Today's Sunday, and so your time is incredibly valuable, so we're going to be incredibly succinct. And today, because it's Sunday, we're going to do a special segment called Skill Set Sunday, where we talk about a specific skill that if you hone, you will continue to advance in your real estate ventures. With us today, we've got a returning Best Ever guest. How you doing, Nav Athwal?
Hey, Joe. Great to be back.
Nice to have you back on the show, and you can listen to Nav's Best Ever Advice in episode 121 And I suggest you do, because it's a really good topic. He talks about crowdfunding, and we're going to touch on it, I imagine, in today's conversation with Skillset Sunday, as well as some other things, and a little bit about Nav, and then we'll get into it. He is the co-founder and CEO of Realty Shares, an online marketplace for accredited investors to securely invest as little as $5,000 into private real estate investment properties. And as far as their track record, they've done over 300 investments and have raised more than $160 million through the platform. He's also a guest lecturer at UC Berkeley Law. He's an electrical engineer turned attorney turned real estate entrepreneur. He's in San Francisco, California, and you can say hi to him at their company website, which you can click through in the show notes page. And today, Skillset Sunday, we're going to be talking about perseverance and how to hone that skill. I asked Nav before we started recording, what's the one trait that really sets you apart? And I'd love for you to talk about that. And that was the one word that came to mind. So with that being said, Nav, how about you give us just a little bit about your background and then talk to us about perseverance?
Great. Would love to, Joe. My name's Nav Athwal, as Joe mentioned, founder and CEO of Realty Shares. As Joe mentioned, Realty Shares is an online marketplace for real estate investing. Prior to founding the company, I spent about a decade in real estate, started my career in real estate brokerage, started investing in real estate about 6-7 years ago, and then went to law school and started practicing real estate law at a firm of about 200 attorneys here in San Francisco. I've been very involved in the real estate market. And then, predating my time as a broker, I was actually an electrical engineer. So a pretty big change and shift into the real estate market. And I think that those experiences are really what gave me the idea behind Realty Shares, having that intersection of technology, engineering, and real estate, and realizing how inefficient the capital markets and investment landscape was for real estate is why we created Realty Shares as a way to connect investors to real estate companies and allow them to transact in a much more meaningful and efficient way. So that's where I've been in my background. In terms of the skill set I want to talk about today, again, when I was talking to Joe about this skill set, one thing I said is this is a little cliche, but it can be understated: perseverance. The way I approach any challenge, and whether it be my time as a real estate broker running a small brokerage shop with about 5 brokers, to going to law school and graduating first in my class at UC Berkeley, to now running a startup that started in my living room and is now about 50 people in San Francisco Bay Area. Story I always like to tell is, in none of those scenarios was I ever the smartest person in the room. At law school, there were a lot smarter people than me out there. There's a lot smarter brokers than me out there. There's just a lot of smarter CEOs and founders out there than me. But I think one thing that's contributed to my success is sort of my ability to not get overwhelmed or quit when things get tough. And I think to really be successful in anything you do in life, whether it be, you're an athlete or you're a CEO or you're a singer, you're a dancer, you're an actor, whatever it may be, perseverance and the ability to sort of take rejection yet still continue to hone and get better and continue to kind of progress is one thing that I think has really helped me in everything I've done. So I'll tell a few stories on how I think that's helped translate into success for me. Especially when things got really tough. Let's start with Realty Shares, because I think that's the most recent example. So, starting this company, I remember when we first kicked this company off, and this was my first ever pitch in front of a group full of investors. This is my first company, so I've never started a technology company before. So I felt really good about what we were creating and what we were doing. And I go to this pitch event, and there's about 10 companies pitching at this event. And we feel, like we're going to do a great job. And it's me and my co-founder at the time.
I sense some doom happening about that.
Yeah.
The skies are gray.
Very perceptive, Joe. So we get in front of a room full of 7 investors who sort of are self-proclaimed serial investors in Silicon Valley. And I still remember it because my wife was there with me. Because at the time, she was pitching in and helping with the company. It was just 2 of us. So we get in front of this room. We pitched the idea. It was nerve-wracking just to be in front of a group full of 7 investors and then an audience of 50 people. And then before we could even finish the pitch, the first investor chimed in and basically said, this is probably one of the worst pitches I've ever heard. This is a horrible idea. You're going to get sued for fraud. you should just stop and keep your day job as an attorney. And I just remember feeling so deflated, like so demoralized, and going after the event, and it was me, my co-founder, and my wife, and just talking about whether we should be doing this at all. And it seems like there's so many people that think we're going to fail, and these people are self-proclaimed, you know, serial investors. If they say it's true, then it must be true. And then, you know, waking up the next morning and really saying, well, look, there's a reason why you went into this. There's a, you know, talking to myself at this point, there's a reason why you went into this. You know, you realize the inefficiencies you're trying to remedy firsthand. You really believe in what you're doing. A room full of investors that don't have those same experiences really be able to tell you that this is not a good idea. So really that a lot of success is about managing your own psychology and your own sort of mind. And I think what I learned from those failures and sort of the demoralization of I experienced in that room full of investors was, you know, a lot of times when you start thinking about, you know, this is going to fail, this is not a good idea, it's really yourself telling you that. And yes, there's external influences like those room full of investors that influence how you're feeling and your mindset at any given time, but your ability to manage that mindset and still be able to persevere and continue down the path that you firmly believed was the right path, I think is one skill I've been able to develop, not only from the early experiences, but anytime you're trying to run a company or start a business, there's so many challenges from, you know, do you have enough money to continue to keep the lights on and pay your employees to, can you acquire customers? Can you sell the customer something they really want? There's so many different challenges and so many different potential missteps and potential failures, but your ability to kind of continue down the path that you believe is the right path and accept those challenges, but really learn how to deal with them, I think is really what defines the way I approach running this company and the challenges we've faced as a company. You know, another challenge,
Wait. Before you get into that, I want to ask a couple questions on that pitch. Before you finished, they said, you're going to get sued. This is the worst pitch I've ever seen. And you should keep your day job. What was your response? What were you feeling?
My response was, I'm sure I was stuttering a little bit because at that point I felt, you know, the feel, my heart was sinking. I felt this weird pain in my stomach. It was the worst feeling ever because it was not only the seven investors, my wife was there. Great. I mean, she still is with me today. So that didn't impact our marriage. And there was a room full of 50 people that, you know, probably just felt sympathy for us at that time and really felt sorry for us. So the feeling was just, it was the worst feeling ever, right? Because this was, it was a big rejection after we felt we were going to do really well because we thought we were solving a real problem. So, you know, it was not a great feeling. And my response was, you know, even in bad situations, I think one thing I always value is feedback and being able to take a bad situation and drive the good from it. Obviously, in that moment, I didn't feel like there was any good in that. But I did approach one of the investors that was on the panel after our pitch was over and after the event was over and said, hey, you were very vocal and thinking this was a really bad idea. Can you like let me know exactly, you know, why? And, you know, in that moment, I sort of realized this investor really had no real basis for thinking it was a bad idea other than his preconceived thoughts around how, you know, internet, how financing should work for real estate. Mm-hmm. So that really actually, despite him sort of continuing to berate me into why it was a bad idea, it did give me a little bit of insights into, look, I know these the challenges our customers, our future customers are facing much more than this guy. He just doesn't even get it. So, you know, that was a really bad moment. And trust me, if that was the only pitch where I was laughed out of the room or told this was the worst idea ever, whether it was with respect to realty shares or other business endeavors, I would say that's a success, but it wasn't. It was actually one of many. But, you know, with each moment, whether it's a good moment or bad moment for you and what you're trying to achieve, there's always a learning. And I think that's sort of how I approached even that scenario of being sort of laughed out of the room and told this is the worst idea ever.
All right. And I have a couple comments, but I want to save them until after you tell your next story, because it might kind of come together in a common denominator amongst both. So can you go into the second one?
Yeah. So the second one's a little less demoralizing, but I think it's related to realty shares, and it's important because, you know, one of the things that we've seen over the last 6 months is a big change in how funding has worked for startups and technology companies. You know, the year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was crazy. I mean, startups were getting funded with really no revenue and you know, insane valuations, mostly by later stage investors that really aren't in the actual business of investing in technology, but given how heated things were getting, got involved, you know, things like firms like Fidelity and BlackRock, et cetera. And then we saw this massive correction about, 6 months ago. And we just completed a Series B financing round where we raised $20 million through a prominent VC in New York. And, you know, when we started raising money for the round, this was in October, beginning of October of 2015, I definitely started seeing like the music had stopped and things were getting really tough. And so, you know, we heard a lot of no's from a lot of prominent VCs that were sort of identifying issues either with the business or just not wanting to get involved in investing in startups at the moment. And, you know, despite that, 6 months later, we were able to raise the Series B. And I think the lesson I learned during that process that lasted, you know, for 3 to 4 months was really not only perseverance, which obviously, you know, when you're trying to raise money for anything, it's hard and it requires a lot of perseverance. You're going to hear a lot of no's and you just need one yes. You have to remember that, especially in the startup world. And that could create some sort of a snowball effect. But the other thing I learned is being adaptable. And so this is really relatable to the perseverance is someone that hears no 100 times yet still continues down the same path with really a little adaptation to what they're doing. I think that's less perseverance. That's more stupidity. So I think one thing I learned in trying to raise money is there's a lot of adaptation that goes along with perseverance. So it's not just continuing down a blind path without really heeding to any of the advice you're hearing. It's more not letting one no really derail you from your path, but still being able to adapt and get better based on the feedback you're getting, even if that feedback at first blush seems like it's telling you the company or the idea just doesn't work and you should stop doing it. So I think here's some examples of what I was able to do to adapt and successfully still close the Series B funding round in an environment that drastically changed for the worse over the 6 or 12 month preceding period. So one thing is when we first went out for the round, you know, I was trying to raise $30 million for the company. And that was sort of becoming the norm for a Series B financing round. And, you know, the first few conversations that I had were, some of the questions that were being asked by VCs were around, okay, what are unit economics? What's your road to profitability? What's your top line growth? Those are all normal questions. But a lot of the questions were around, why are you raising $30 million? I mean, it seems like, you know, you've been pretty cash efficient. You know, why not raise less? And a lot of startup founders, I think, because of what happened over the last 2 years, have a set value they want in their mind. Like, yeah, I want to raise $30 million. I want to raise it at this valuation, and I'm not going to hear anything else. But in that changing environment, I was able to say, okay, $30 million, they're right. Maybe that's not the right amount. Was able to revise down our funding to $20 million and was able to actually successfully raise capital from a VC that initially said, you're trying to raise too much. I just am not interested. So I think adapting and really seeing, you know, why are people saying no and being able to adapt and change and really be successful because of that adaptation was really important in those moments when I was trying to raise this capital. So I think that story is both one of perseverance and ability to sort of take a lot of rejection yet still continue forward and believe in what you're trying to raise capital for, which was, you know, in my case, the company Realty Shares, but also being able to adapt given the early feedback are very key traits and skills that I've been able to accomplish, not only with respect to fundraising for the company, but also in all the day-to-day things I do at the company. And that's a skill set I think a lot of people need to have if they're going to be building something from the ground up and trying to raise capital from outside investors that, you know, may at first blush not be interested, but may want to see something different that is not part of the pitch today.
So, I love it. And I'm glad that you mentioned the adaptability because it reminds me of a story with one of my clients. Actually, I was on the call with him yesterday. And he has been reaching out to potential investors for multifamily deals, talking to them about his business model. And he hasn't received as good of a response as what he anticipated. And I asked him to forward me some of the messages. And what I realize is that it's just punctuation and grammar was not where it needs to be when you're raising money, as well as putting investors on a pedestal versus on equal ground as you are. And I gave him two things. One is read the book Pitch Anything by Oren Claff, amazing book. And then two is to get better at grammar, spelling, and punctuation, and you know, take a couple quizzes and read AP style book. And it's little things like that where it's just. I love that you said, you know, instead of going down one path with blinders on and be like, well, I'm going to persevere until I make it happen. So, well, stop a second and listen and get the feedback. One question I have for you is one interesting thing that happened to me on this deal that I'm closing on this week is, and by the way, all the money's been raised. So I successfully completed the money raise. But during the process, I had a couple investors who said they were interested. And then I shared with them the information. They attended a conference call. I spoke to them directly. And then they just never got back to me. And then, and eventually, after following up a couple times, they said that it wasn't for them. And I couldn't get exactly why they didn't invest. So the question for you is, what do you do when you don't get that feedback from your VC, potential, you know, venture capital partners or whomever? Do you have a way of figuring out from a self-analysis standpoint, or what's your approach?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think given how, you know, I've now raised three rounds of funding for the company, I've sort of established sort of a baseline of who is interested and who is not. So I can walk out of a initial meeting and I'll know, even if they said, oh, this is great, I like it, I sort of know whether they're interested or not, or if they're just paying some lip service to me. You get better at it over time and a better ability to determine who is and who isn't interested. But a lot of times you don't get, I mean, it's a great point, Joe. I mean, a lot of times you don't actually get real great feedback. I've made it a habit to sort of go back whenever I hear a no, whether it's, you know, with the customer or with fundraising or anything. Like, I always try to go back and say, look, you know, I think there's always ways for me to improve my pitch, my story, anything, you know, I discussed with you, and the feedback you can offer me could really help. And I really would, I respect you and your opinion. So I would love to get that feedback. So, you know, stroke the ego a little bit, but really go back to them and say, you know, can you just offer me some of the reasons you didn't invest? Because a lot of people, like, they, you know, VCs or anyone out there, investors, they may not be interested, but they may not also want to, like, you know, say, I'm not interested because blah, 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 and really, you know, offer that advice because either they think it'll be taken the wrong way or be offensive. But if you ask them and say, look, the feedback to me is really important, I want you to be as candid as possible, that actually really helps them feel comfortable sharing candid feedback they otherwise may not, like, feel comfortable sharing because they may feel like it's offensive, or they just feel bad giving that feedback. So, I mean, that's one thing that really has helped me in situations where I haven't gotten really good feedback, but I've gotten a no, or I've gotten no response at all, which typically means a no, is really going back and asking for that direct feedback in a way that makes them feel comfortable in sharing it.
Nav, is there anything else you want to mention as it relates to perseverance and adaptability to the best ever listeners?
No, I mean, one thing I'll say is, you know, a long time ago, I was talking to someone who I respect very much, and he told me, with anything you're trying to do in life, and especially when you're trying to start a company, a lot of the path to success is just not quitting and not letting things deter you. And so I really took that to heart, and that's really been part of how I've looked at challenges in life, whether it be personal or professional. So, you know, I would say, if you're out there, if you believe in something, as long as you can adapt and be adaptable, don't let a few no's derail you from your path, because you started down that path for a reason. So just, you know, continue sort of believing in yourself and why you started down the path in the first place. So, but yeah, that's kind of that's the advice I'll leave the listeners with.
I love it. Thank you so much. And, you know, as you're talking, I was taking notes, and the thing that stands out to me is, as you're, whether you have a deal, or you're looking for investors, or looking to find a deal, and you're not able to find motivated sellers, whatever it is, if things aren't working, then first go on a fact-finding mission. Identify why it's not working, because guess what? It's worked for other people in the past. Exactly. So identify what's not working about your approach through feedback. And one way is, you know, just as you said, kind of stroking the eagle. They invest. I bet some investors do have eagles, but they all have egos, as we all do. Stroking the ego of the investors and saying, hey, your feedback is important, because it's actually a very genuine approach as well, because their feedback is important, because that feedback is going to help you be more successful. So your feedback's important, and then being adaptable to implement that feedback along the way. And the foundation of all of it, as you said earlier, we didn't talk about it a lot because I think it's discussed a lot, but it's so important, is knowing your why, managing your own psychology. But once we have that psychology managed, we've really got to go on that fact-finding mission and adapt, and then continue to move forward and persevere. So thank you so much for being on the show again, sharing these skills and how to hone them. I hope you have a best ever weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
If you're looking for a real estate brokerage that provides full service commercial and residential property management, as well as traditional brokerage services, then contact James Wise and his company, the Holton Wise Property Group. Their website is holtonwise.com. That's HOLTONWISE.com. They're based out of Cleveland, and they help local and out-of-state investors build and manage completely passive rental property portfolios.